ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
ॐ दट् ब्रह्मन् इज़् इन्फिनिट् and this universe is also infinite. The infinite proceeds from the infinite. Taking the infinitude of the infinite universe, it remains as the infinite Brahman alone. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
We are studying the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. I have given you some introduction, especially of the Sambandha Bhashyam. Shankaracharya's introduction before he begins his real commentary on this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Shankaracharya does this to each one of his Upanishads. In this particular Upanishad, the essence of it is that rituals and as well as contemplations are very necessary to make a person fit. They are not to be discarded, but one should not stop with them. And this is a wonderful point which we are going to discuss a little bit later on. So before starting the Upanishad, we will have to first of all understand who is this author. In any modern book, first of all, there would be on the flap page, cover page, both inside of the cover, front as well as the back, there would be an introduction about the author, and the symbolism of it is very great. So the author must be an authentic person. Whether the book is on poetry or music or medicine or science, the authenticity, the value of the book totally depends upon the direct experience of the author. Therefore, here also is no exception. That is why whenever we study the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna or the Holy Mother of Swami Vivekananda, we salute the author. For example, before reading the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, and most many devotees do it practically every day, we are reminded, what is the mantra? Tava katha amritam tapta jeevanam Kavi Viriditam Kalmashapaham Shravanamangalam Srimadatatam Bhuvi Grinanti Ete Bhurida Janaha. That shows the Sri Krishna's greatness. His words are able to bring about permanent and infinite joy and peace into the heart of everyone who studies and who puts into practice the teachings of Bhagavan Sri Krishna, which are embodied, of course, both in the Bhagavatam as well as in the Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, whenever we want to read the Gospel of the Holy Mother, Jananim Sharadam Devim, and when we wish to study Swami Vivekananda's works, Namashri Iti Rajaya Vivekananda Suraye Sachit Sukha Swarupaya Swamine Tapaharini. Even if it is a very fiction book, very light book, there also we have our own discrimination. There are some authors who can view their imagination as if it is happening right in front of our eyes, like a drama, like a cinema. We choose only those authors. What is the purpose? To get at the truth, and if it is entertainment, to forget time. And Brahmagnanam makes us rise beyond time, space, and causation, beyond every possible limit. Another name for limit is Maya. And then after knowledge dawns, we can come back and we can enjoy the Maya just as a person who settles down all his household problems and more or less is assured that you are from now onwards, your life will go on. so well, such a person is able to watch a drama or a cinema with the greatest joy, or a cricket match, or a football match, etc. But if we are worried, and even if we are watching, even from the front place, then our mind will not be there. So the mind should attain to that tranquility. And that attainment of tranquility, which almost means control over the mind, that is the purpose of rituals, and that is the purpose of the contemplations called upasanas. They form two steps, as it were. First step leading to the second step. Second leading to the last step, which is to make us pure, receptive, and endowed with complete faith. Then we are ready to take a leap beyond the Maya itself. Now, we have to remember the author gratefully, because an author, especially in spiritual matters, the rishis, the munis, we have to salute every day, because they are the greatest discoverers of truth. A rishi is one who is called mantra drashta. Mantra means truth. Truth, of course, ultimate truth, Brahman, is infinite. But some aspect of it, some people realize it. So when personally they realize it, and then they become blessed, and they try to convey it to us, so we have to salute, remember, I am ever so grateful. That is part of the Rishi Yajna. So since the whole of the Shukla Yajurveda is the work of one single great person called Yajnavalkya, we have to remember him, bow down to him again and again, because it is one of the biggest works, and his life is a most exalted, purified life. Just a few incidents. Most of these rishis, their lives are hidden. No great person ever wants to reminisce. Sri Ramakrishna had very few reminiscences. Swamiji, even less. But even when they reminisce, it is only for the welfare of people like us. So Yajnavalkya, he was the disciple of Vaishampayana, as we come to know about it from the Taittiriya Upanishad. So his guru became angry. We have narrated that story in the Taittiriya Upanishad. And the guru asked him not to use the knowledge that he had imparted to this Yajnavalkya. Perhaps the very name Yajnavalkya, we do not know who his father was, mother was, how he grew up. But he was one of the greatest sages. There is no doubt about it. He was not only knowers of Brahman, one of the greatest knowers of Brahman, and one of the greatest expounders of the highest philosophical teachings. Not only that, he was a master how to present things in a very logical way. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, especially in the second middle part called Munikanda or Yajnavalkya Kanda, the instrument used is called Upapatti. Upapatti means, that is, how to present to earnest students the highest teachings of Vedanta in the most possible rational way. So that is why it is called Upapatti Kanda. Whether it was for Janaka Maharaja or whether it was for the other great people who challenged his greatness. So it is very appropriate for us to remember his lotus feet, and the more devotion we have to the lotus feet of such great people, the more receptive we become. So we do not know his parents, we do not know how he grew up, but this much we know, he joined the hermitage of one great saint called Vaishampayana, and he was one of the brightest pupils, that we know. So maybe he knew it, we do not know. His guru asked him, But there is another story that his guru was not well. So he asked him to teach to others. O Yajnavalkya, what I taught you, now you must give it to these, your, say, what is called junior students. I am not directly able to take classes for them. You please do it. So Yajnavalkya, he digested. That means he understood what his teacher Vaishampayana had taught him. And therefore, the story goes that he vomited, and the other disciples, assuming the forms of partridges or tithri birds, have picked it up. But really speaking, he taught other students. He was not only a greatest student, he was also a greatest teacher. Who is a greatest teacher? He who is capable of teaching to his pupils in the most effective manner. That means a teacher who could come down to the level of each and every student and convey the teaching so that that can really be understood, received by that particular student. Such a person is the most effective teacher, most revered teacher. So, the symbolic meaning of that other people are like small birds. So, he digested it like a mother wolf digests the food it had eaten, and by the time it reaches home, the cubs are waiting for it and it vomits. And then what comes out? Very interesting phenomena. As soon as the mother reaches, all the cubs go and start licking its cheeks, and that creates a reaction that whatever she had eaten, she vomits. But by the time she has half digested that food, and that is exactly the type of food like the milk of a cow to its calf, and even to people like us. So that is what Yajnavalkya had done, but he also had the tremendous devotion to Surya Deva, Aditya Deva. Aditya means he who gives light. Light always represents knowledge. So Surya Deva also represents energy. And without energy, even one, if one has some desire to learn, one cannot really learn. Because even what we call enthusiasm, that is also an explosion of energy only, and that should come from some source, and that source is Surya Deva. As if we ourselves have that energy. No, it is actually we are created by the sun, we are sustained by the sun, and we are again taken back into the sun, and that is how the whole universe is running. We discussed this point. This is called the holistic view. Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, this is called Brahma Chakra in some of the Upanishads. So, this Yajnavalkya, he had further quest than what Vaishampayana had taught. So, he worshipped wholeheartedly, contemplated upon the sun, and that means he became one with the sun. And whatever knowledge is the sun, that became Yajnavalkya's. So, that is popularly known as Shukla Yajurveda or the Yajurveda, which is called White Yajurveda because it is coming from the sun. He is also called Vajasaneyi. Vajasaneyi, Vajasana Neyi is that which comes from the sun. Vajasaneya. We have come across this one in the Katha Upanishad, the father of Nachiketa. He was called Vajasaneya because he is distributing plenty of food, and food comes from the sun. That's why he became famous as a Vajasaneya. So this whole Veda is also called Vajasaneyi. So this Yajnavalkya, he obtained by becoming one with the sun, and that is the same process when we become identified with our teacher, then we obtain the same knowledge as the sun. That is why contemplation is the best means of receiving whatever knowledge God has to give, Guru has to give to each one of us. Contemplation is a marvelous thing. As an example, Ramakrishna wanted devotion to Sri Rama. The embodiment of Rama Bhakti is Hanuman. Therefore, when Ramakrishna meditated wholeheartedly and became identified with Anjaneya, like Anjaneya, he became the greatest devotee of Rama, and he became Ramamaya, full of Rama, and that's why he continuously beholds Rama. Similarly, when Ramakrishna wanted to obtain the vision of Brahman in the form of Krishna, meditated upon Radha Devi, who is the very embodiment of Krishna Bhakti. Through that, he became Radha and he obtained same quality and he had the vision of Krishna. It is said, Radha always puts the collyrium of Krishna. Like a person, as it is said, when somebody puts on the collyrium of the paste made out of frogs, he will always see the snakes. But we are supposed to have Jnana Anjana Vimalanayana Vikshane Mohajai. Ramakrishna is hymned in the Kandana Bhavabandhana like that. So Yajnavalkya became Surya Deva through contemplation, and whatever is the sun god Aditya Deva, Yajnavalkya became the same. That's why the whole Shukla Yajurveda is called Vajasaneya. So that is how he obtained. And part of that Vajasaneya or Yajurveda, and every Veda has got Brahmana, etc., comes at the end, this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And by the way, Isavasya Upanishad also belongs to the same. Again, some of our commentators tell us that Isavasya is called Mantra Upanishad, that is the essence of the Vedic teaching in almost aphoristic manner. Isavasya Upanishad has only 18 mantras, but its explanation is this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. It is called Brahmana Upanishad. Brahmana means here nothing to do with caste Brahmana, Brahmins. It is elaborate explanation. Just imagine, the 18 mantras of the Isavasya Upanishad required this voluminous explanation, and it is the same. Aham Brahmasmi Mahavakya also occurs here. And the most famous Jnana Yoga methodology called not this also occurs in this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Somebody asked why there are two words. One neti would have been. Neti means na iti. Whatever we experience is not the highest truth. It is only partial truth, limited truth. Truth limited by time, space and causation, it goes by the name Mithya. So why two words? Because first of all, it is through mind we accept or reject or modify something. Kartum, akartum, anyatha kartum. So it is the mind which can decide, I want this, I want to do this, I don't want to do this, I want to do something else. So this, whatever we understand, is within the realm of this limitation. Since mind is limited, like a small vessel, even if it goes to the ocean, it can only bring to its limit. It cannot take one drop extra, which Sri Ramakrishna illustrates in the form of a small ant approached a hill of sugar, and while it can only eat one grain, and it can carry another grain, but in its foolishness it thought, I want to, next time I come, I carry the whole hill. We are like that. Through the mind, we cannot carry. Then what is the way to become one? So let the limited become merged in the unlimited. Then what remains will be, Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnam Eva Avasishyate. coming back to the story of Yajnavalkya, so he became very famous and he was living in the kingdom of Mithila. Now there was a king there. He was called Janaka Maharaja. Probably he was the famous Janaka. He was known as Videha Janaka. We do not know whether he is the same Janaka of Sita's father, but we know definitely this Janaka Maharaja, under the tutelage of Yajnavalkya, had become one of the greatest sages. So once this Janaka Maharaja, he understood, I require a guru, a teacher. I know so many things, but there are many, many more things to be learned. And not only that, what I learned has not given me what I wanted, which is called liberation or mukti. For that, I have to sacrifice everything. So he wanted to flesh out who is the greatest knower of Brahman, Brahmagnani, not mere pandit, but a person who has realized himself, and not only realized himself, but who is capable of conveying it. There are so many pandits, there are so many sadhus, not only they are scholars, but they're experienced people. Anubhuti is there. But unfortunately, by the grace of God, they are not equipped with that intelligence or special talent of conveying their teachings appropriate to the receiving pupil. Some people, it's very interesting to understand, some people's knowledge is very limited, but they have the highest capacity to convey to their students what little they know. Very effective teachers. There are great teachers who are not capable, even though they know they are vastly learned, but they don't have that special talent. So that talent is necessary. The grace of God in the form of authority is necessary. Janaka Maharaja wanted to find out. So this story goes, he announced, whoever is the greatest knower of Brahman in my kingdom or outside my kingdom, he will be given 1,000 best cows and their horns adorned with, covered with gold, which is a lot of wealth. In those days, cows are supposed to be the greatest, what is called, money exchange, because there was no money bartering system. So cows give milk, cows produce cows, they can cultivate the lands and then harvest. And ashramas, some of them are very famous because of their teachers, and sometimes there are thousands of students will be there. If you have heard about Tibetan lamas, Swami Akhandananda was describing some of the lamasaries here, Tibetan monasteries, contain more than 20,000 students. So, thousands of students will be there. I think Yajnavalkya was one of them. And he was a householder. He was a married person. He was not only married, he was married twice. One wife was called Katyayani, an ordinary, very good lady, chaste lady, but not interested in spiritual life. That is what we get in this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. But another, Maitreyi, extremely intelligent, but highly spiritual, ready for Brahmagnana. That also we see it in the Yajnavalkya Maitreyi dialogue that happens. By the way, in the second part of this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, which is called the chapter related with the Muni or Yajnavalkya Kanda, there we get this Yajnavalkya Maitreyi Samvada. Beautiful Samvada will come, and with so many other learned people. Anyway, but he was a Brahmagnani. He was a householder, he was a Brahmagnani. What does it tell us? Like Nagamahashaya, one can be a householder and one can be also a Brahmagnani. We do not know whether he had any children, there was no mention at all, but his name and fame had spread, and naturally he required some resources. Because the students used to go in those days to Gurukula and live there with the teacher. until they complete their education. Then once it is complete, then they come back home with the blessings of the teacher, and the teacher gives a ceremonial, what is called well-wishing. And there also, like our universities, they give convocation address, how they should behave. And we have seen in the Shikshavali, 11th section, how this Satyam Vada Dharmam Chara Swadhyaya Anma Pramadaha Matru Pitru Karyabhyam Na Pramaditavyam, etc. Beautiful universal convocation address, which was, is, and will be valid for eternity. These are the true spiritual values which ultimately everyone has to seek if a person wishes his or her own welfare. So that is how this Yajnavalkya was trying to train his students. Of course, we have to understand that every student will not be eager to be a Brahmagnani, but the guru has to maintain. So then Janakaraja knew it very well, and he announced, as I mentioned. And then Yajnavalkya came along with a few of his disciples to this Mithila. And then the king knew about it. As soon as he came, he was given the announcement, and Yajnavalkya, and this is the very interesting portion. Immediately he called one of his chief disciples and said, drive all these 1,000 cows to our ashrama. And then naturally the student would have gone. That tremendous confidence that shows that he knows what he is, and he knows nobody else has his capacity. He is the, what is called, Brahmavit Tamaha, the greatest of the knowers of Brahman. Immediately, other people who also have gathered there with the fond hope of getting the cows, but only caveat is that only one person will get. There is no mention of that if most of you exhibit your capacities, talents, the cows will be distributed among them. No, only one person will get the first prize. Immediately the others challenged. Yajnavalkya, do you think that you are the greatest of the knowers of Brahman? Immediately, the humorous part of him came out. He bowed down deeply to everybody and said, no, I am only a desirer of cows. I never think I am the greatest knower of Brahman. Of course, then you have to prove, all right. And then he defeats everybody. We are going to come to that. But this is a very interesting situation. That God-given confidence. Say Ramakrishna knew, I am authorized to tell, my mother told me. It cannot be otherwise. Swami Vivekananda said that my master speaks through me, and I know what I am speaking because it is my mother. Mother Saraswati herself speaks. And Holy Mother confirmed it, that it is the great master, Sri Ramakrishna, who made Narendra the most famous. So this Yajnavalkya story goes here. He had two wives, and as I said, only one wife was interested, following the footsteps of her husband. So then, our ancient Hindu division of life. So from Grihastashrama, he wanted to become a sannyasi. Why did he not become a vanaprasthi? For that the answer is, there are two types of sannyasa, stages of sannyasa, well known, especially Vidyaranya speaks of it so beautifully in his Jivan Mukti Viveka. One is called initial state, where a person is extraordinarily eager to become a knower of Brahman. This is called Vividisha Veditum Icha. I would like to have Brahmagnanam. I am ready to renounce. Such people usually take to Vanaprasthashrama and go through all the necessary steps. But there are some people who have done that deep within the Grihastha Ashrama itself, and that's they reach a very high stage that is called Vidvat Sannyasa. Vidvat means he already had realized Brahman. But such people want to maintain the sannyasa system of this, our Vedic division of life may not be in one life, but everybody has to become a sannyasin, either physically or mentally. It's very important for us to understand, among the Sri Ramakrishna's disciples, there were the 16 well-known monastic disciples, but Sri Ramakrishna also trained some people, asked them exclusively to stay in the Grihastha Ashrama, like Nagamahashaya. Later on, M also became a sannyasin. Ramchandra Datta, towards the end of his life, he became a sannyasin. He never wanted to see his family members. So, on the advice of Sri Ramakrishna, he bought a very solitary place in those days. Nowadays, it has become part of the busiest parts of the Calcutta, that is called the Kankur Gachi. And there, Sri Ramakrishna also visited that place. He expressly desired to go there, and only the direct disciples of Sri Ramakrishna and devotees will be surrounded him, and he didn't want his family members to come anywhere there. That is how, uttering the name of Sri Ramakrishna, Ramchandra Datta passed away. So every householder disciple of Sri Ramakrishna had trained them how to be in household, and it is not possible for many of them to renounce and become sannyasins, but become manasika sannyasi, mental renunciation. And that applies even today. Every initiated disciple of Sri Ramakrishna, even today, we consider Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother as our father and mother, and we are their children, and they are sannyasins. Therefore, we also have to consider ourselves as sannyasins. So he gave practical instructions also. After the birth of one or two children, then slowly one has to try to do sadhana to overcome his physical relationship, and both the husband and wife should live like brother and sister, Guru Bhai and Guru Bhagini. That is what he wanted. Sri Ramakrishna's main teaching, we have to take note here. So, we are talking about the life of Yajnavalkya, and he defeated everybody. And there is also the incident of how he taught, he offered when Yajnavalkya wanted actually to renounce the householdership and enter into the stage called Sannyasa Ashrama. He called both his wives and he said, I have quite a good amount of wealth. I equally divide that wealth because I love both of you, and you accept it and give me permission to go out. Katyayani meekly accepted her part, but Maitreyi asked a very penetrating question. You are very wealthy, and your wealth is so vast, and you have given, even for those days, quite a great lot. Will this bring me immortality, which you had already gained? Yajnavalkya's direct answer was, the wealth will only make your life a little bit more comfortable, like other wealthy people who have got better houses, better instruments, servants, some implements to ease the hardship of their life. But there is no hope of immortality at all. Now what we have to note is, however wealthy a person is, nowadays they are trying to become billionaires, even trillionaires. But when we look at their life, certainly they are not ideal people, because they have their own headaches and they are not having peace of mind. Definitely we know about it. And wealth possessions have nothing to do. Peace of mind is an exclusive property of the mind, and for that tremendous amount of hardship had to be gone through to make the mind healthy, idealistic, asisto, dradisto, balisto, yuvasyat, yuvadhyayakaha, as we have seen in the Ananda Mimamsa. That is, then such a person will get the highest happiness possible for a human being. So, vittasya amrutasya asha nasti vittena. But then, you can have servants, you can lead a life of ease, but it has nothing to do. And we have to understand it in depth. Even the slightest worry, slightest bad dream, slightest what is called presumed insult by other people, looking down, can upset those people's minds like anything. We see Yajnavalkya being challenged by angry people sometimes, but then Yajnavalkya never lost his peacefulness, his repose, like Bhagavan Buddha, remained absolutely the same. These are some of the things we have to meditate upon when we recollect the life of Yajnavalkya. Ultimately, of course, then Maitreyi asked, then I do not want this wealth. Give me that wealth by which I can become like you, free from all limitations, bondage. And then the most famous teaching, which echoes throughout these aeons, Atma va are drashtavyaha, shotavyaha, mantavyaha, vididhyasitavyaha. Very meaningful sutra. The goal of life is God realization, as Sri Ramakrishna says. Atma va are drashtavyaha. Atma has to be realized. Realized as what? I am the Atman. Not that there is a God. I am God. I am Brahman. For that, three steps are there. The most important step is Shravana. That is called initiation into Mahavakya. So, in this Brihadaranyaka, we get that Mahavakya, Aham Brahmasmi. And by the way, the Ramakrishna order of sannyasins, our Veda is Shukla Yajurveda, our Mahavakya is Aham Brahmasmi. So, then slowly he teaches Maitreyi what he meant and clears all her doubts. So, all these teachings come. So, what happened? Janaka finally understood, there is nobody. I am so lucky in this world. And this is possible only by the grace of God. That is why Shankaracharya tells in the Viveka Chudamani, Durlabham trayame vaitat devanugraha hetukam manushyatvam mumukshatvam mahapurusha samshayaha. So Maitreyi understood, I have a human body, and she also understood, not only manushya janma, I have the deepest desire. If that desire was not there, she would have meekly accepted, okay, I have the desire, but not now, after some time. No, I want it immediately. That is possible only because of the, what is called that mumukshutvam. Manushyatvam mumukshutvam. I want to be liberated. I want moksham. But of course, mahapurusha samshayaha. That is, the availability of a great realized soul who can guide me, who can take my responsibility. And like the first class physician of Sri Ramakrishna, he will not simply utter the truth and then leave me. He will be with me. He will guide me. He will take me. And until I reach my goal, he is going to be forever with me. Sri Ramakrishna's teachings are so deep. A first class physician is one. If necessary, he will throw the fellow down, sit on his chest and open his mouth forcefully, like cows are being fed medicine through a small hollow bamboo tube, like that, until the person becomes cured. And here, curing of the worldly disease. A first-class physician will not leave. Janma janmantara he will be there. Life after life he will be there. I have got these three. I am not going to lose a single minute. So Janaka Maharaja also understood it, accepted him as his guru, and then he says, every time some teaching is given, I will give you 1,000 cows for this invaluable teaching. Finally, Janaka Maharaja, by the grace of God flowing through Yajnavalkya, had realized. Then Janaka Maharaja says that I offer my whole kingdom along with myself, which goes without saying, and do whatever you like. Yajnavalkya, like Swami Ramdas, Samartha Ramdas, telling to Shivaji, yes, I am going to be the king. You have offered me everything, but I will appoint you as my representative and you rule it as if you are a dasa. Like Bharata had really ruled over Ayodhya for 14 years until Sri Rama came back. I am only the bearer of your padukas. And now that you have returned, it belongs to you. Please accept it. That is the exact attitude Janaka had. And once Janaka had realized this truth, then Yajnavalkya certified, the guru certified him. Like the guru of Satyakama Jabala, he certified him that your face is shining like a Brahmagnani. And Satyakama Jabala also certified his disciple Upakosala, whose stories we have read. And then what did he say? Abhayam vai praptosi Janaka. O Janaka, you have attained fearlessness. What is fearlessness? Dvitiyadvai bhayam bhavati. Fear always stems from duality. And you have realized non-duality. Therefore, you don't have bhayam. There's a negative word. Positive word is, you will be enjoying what is swimming in the ocean of bliss, Satchidananda Sagara. This is the story of Yajnavalkya and how he proceeds. And that is a wonderful story. As I mentioned, I will only give the gist of many of these rituals, etc., because I have already dealt with these upasanas, etc., earlier. But wherever it is necessary, I will repeat everything. Probably most of the things I am going to talk about will be a repetition. But every repetition will be a new way of expression. And if you have forgotten, you will remember. And if you still remember, it will be reinforcement. This is what we will do. Again, I will give you a small introduction how this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is divided, etc. Then we will also deal probably in tomorrow's class about the Shanti Mantra, which is a very special, peculiar Shanti Mantra. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.